That's the why, so that we can then associate some performance-related goals as to what they want to accomplish with that change. And that's often drive the athlete to staying more on their goals. Welcome to the Sports Nutrition Playbook Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Goodson. As a veteran sports dietitian, I know what it takes to fuel athletes to train, perform, and recover optimally. And that's what we do on this show. Provide the play-by-play on all things sports nutrition for athletes, parents, coaches, and athletic trainers. Happy New Year and welcome to the new year of the Sports Nutrition Playbook Podcast. Today on the show, we are going to be talking about goal setting for athletes, a three-part strategy for success. Many of us set goals this time of year in January. We're thinking about New Year's resolutions, the different things that we want to accomplish. That could be fitness, health, nutrition, life, business, all of the different things. And we're thinking about how we're going to do that throughout the year. Well, many athletes often set goals this time of year as well. So while an athlete might think about their goals maybe more often than adults do throughout the year, oftentimes athletes really think about this time of year, how can I get better? How can I get stronger? How can I get faster, leaner? All of those different things. And when it comes to looking at goals for athletes, it's interesting because as a sports dietitian of 18 years now, I find that most athletes really center their goal setting around weight. So what they weigh, what they need to weigh, what weight they need to gain, what weight they need to lose, possibly body composition, so how they need to adjust their body fat along the way. But many times they're not looking at all of the other focuses that often affect, you know, health, life, performance, etc. So when we're talking about educating athletes on setting goals, I really like to have a three-part strategy to lead to performance success. So while most of these athletes will put the emphasis on a body composition or weight goal, the reality is this three-part strategy should include a performance goal, a health goal, and the body composition goal. If you can get athletes off of just necessarily what they weigh or what their body fat is and help them focus on a performance goal and a health goal as well, it really becomes a more holistic goal. We're looking at a variety of components that can affect performance and not just focusing on weight. Sometimes the reality is an athlete's weight or body fat really might need to change, but let's not make that the focus. So let's dial in on what these three different areas look like. So let's start with the one they want to change, the body composition goal. So most of them start with a goal, gain weight, lose weight, improve body fat, whatever that is. And while this can be necessary, there are a few things really to consider when we're talking about coming up with a body composition or body fat percentage goal. So first, I would tell you that the best time to change an athlete's body composition is in the off season. This is a time where athletes aren't as focused on winning and performance, and they can often start to focus on more of the skills and strategies they need to improve upon. Maybe they're looking to get faster and stronger, and that body fat goal is going to come along with that. We also want to make sure that we're providing athletes enough nutrition. And if they're trying to lose weight or lose body fat, there has to be a deficit of calories. And we never want to do that in a season where performance is high. So when we talk about that body composition goal, we really want to try to work towards that and manipulating that in an off season. Looking at the body composition goal, it's also important to consume adequate nutrition to support training and recovery. So we really need to dial in on how much is that athlete going to be training, be it in the weight room, on the field, on the court, on the course, whatever that is, so that we can make sure we're providing them with enough nutrition as well to recover appropriately. Sometimes if athletes restrict their calorie and energy intake too much, they will have really low energy levels and typically not recover as faster. So when we think about that body composition goal, very important that we're working with a sports dietitian to dial in on what that athlete actually needs. We also want that athlete to eat often. So many times athletes like want to restrict and not eat entire meals. We want an athlete to be eating often to reduce feelings of hunger throughout the day. Eating often will also help their energy levels stay up, which is going to be really important. Instead of always focusing on, you know, just eating clean, 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 just look for athletes that like, what can we take out that is probably not the most nutrient rich? So limiting unnecessary calories like desserts, sugary beverages, fast food. These are going to be foods that often provide a lot of calories for very little nutrients. So limiting those unnecessary calories, replacing them with nutrient-rich foods is going to be a great way to help them alter that body composition. Getting plenty of rest to support recovery and regulation of appetite-related hormones is going to be really important. If an athlete isn't resting enough and they're not recovering enough, it can often make it hard for them to manipulate their body composition, especially if we're talking about lowering body fat percentage. If your appetite-regulated hormones are all over the place and you're hungry all the time, that often can be really counterproductive to the goal of changing body composition. It's also really important to pay attention to the athlete's energy levels. If the athlete's levels are too low, we likely need to reevaluate caloric intake as well as both pre- and post-exercise fuel to make sure that they're getting enough. Many times, athletes aren't necessarily able to restrict their calories to lose body fat as fast as like an everyday person that's not training as much, simply because they exercise at such high intensities and for much longer duration than most people. So it is very important that we are looking at their energy levels throughout the process of reaching a body composition goal. That needs to be checked in on regularly so that caloric intake, nutrition intake, macronutrient intake, all of the different things can be recalculated and reevaluated if necessary. So those are some considerations to think about when we talk about the body composition goal. But the other two parts of my strategy for goal setting for athletes is really looking at the performance goal and the health goal. So let's say an athlete wants to lose body fat percentage. Great. My next question to them would be, why? What is the performance goal associated with the outcome of a better body composition? So why is this body composition goal important? How does the result benefit the athlete's performance? Does losing a little bit of body fat help them run faster? Does it help them jump higher? Does gaining lean muscle mass help them get stronger in the weight room or in their position? What is that performance goal? Most of the time, an athlete ties a body composition goal to something that they want to achieve in their sport or in the weight room or whatnot. So really focusing in on the performance goal can help us understand the why. And the why is often one of the biggest pieces that are going to help an athlete stick to that goal. I've heard it said, if your why doesn't make you cry, the cost of commitment will always be too high. And so really identifying the athlete's why. Why are they, you know, looking to improve their nutrition, to improve their body composition? What's the why? So that we can then associate some performance-related goals as to what they want to accomplish with that change. And that's often really going to drive the athlete, I think, to staying more on their goal, staying on the plan or whatnot. Then we also want them to have a health goal. So whether that health goal is directly related to the body composition goal or not, it doesn't have to be. So it can be, but it does not have to be. So what is either a health or a lifestyle behavior that the athlete can improve on that's going to help all the things, that's going to help performance and could contribute to helping that body composition goal? So some examples of a health goal might be getting more rest so that they have more energy at practice, getting more rest so that they have more energy in the weight room. Another one might be, are there vitamin or mineral deficiencies that need to be addressed? Has lab work been done to see if that athlete has adequate vitamin D levels or things of that nature? So that could be a health goal as well, especially if they are experiencing fatigue or other health-related issues. Another health goal might be regulating a menstrual cycle for female athletes. If they haven't normally had their period, then that could be a health goal because we know that that is something that needs to be going on consistently 12 months out of the year. So that would be a health goal that a female athlete could look to add to their three-part strategy for success. Another one could just be changing diet habits like eating less sugar, eating more vegetables, eating less fast food, to improve overall health. So lots of athletes we know aren't necessarily taking in the most nutritious foods on the regular. So a health goal might be improving their diet quality intake so that they feel better, have more energy, etc. So as we look at the body composition goal, the performance goal, and the health goal as a three-part strategy for success, I want to give you two examples. So one example, let's take a football player. And a football player's body composition goal, this guy's, is to gain 15 pounds of lean mass. So great, we totally understand in football that might be a thing that will help them on the field as well as in the weight room. But what would be our performance goal there? So if this athlete gains 15 pounds of lean mass, what's the performance goal? Well, the performance goal might be to get stronger in the weight room and increase tackles on the field. Okay, great. Well, if that's the goal and that's going to help him in his sport, it's going to be easier to stick to when, you know, the going gets tough and it's a little harder to stay attached to your goal or the plan that you're on. Now, a health goal for this football player could be increasing energy levels through the school day by eating more often and staying more hydrated. So maybe by the time this athlete gets to practice in the afternoon, they're tired. So what could we do throughout the day to eat often, eat more nutrient-rich foods, drink more water so that they are fueled and hydrated when they get to practice? All three of those things work together to help the athlete become a better athlete, but then B, really dial in on improving their body composition. But as a result, we're going to have multiple changes that are going to benefit the athlete's overall performance and health. Now, on the reverse side, let's do another example and let's look at a female runner. So let's say this female runner's body composition goal is to establish a healthy body fat percentage and allow adequate time to meet that goal. We do not want athletes crash dieting or trying to lose weight or body fat really, really quickly. A lot of the times they end up losing muscle mass when they do that. So if this female runner's goal is to establish a healthy body fat percentage and allow adequate time to meet that goal, we would ask that female runner, okay, what performance goal do you if you establish a healthy body fat percentage and gradually meet that over time? Well, perhaps the performance goal is decreasing race time by 10 seconds. Well, that would be if they're running a 5K or whatever that is, then being a little bit leaner could contribute to that. So the goal becomes, performance-wise, I want to run faster and I want to be able to improve my race time. From a health goal standpoint for this female runner, it could be sustained energy throughout long training sessions and then continue their menstrual cycle while training and losing body fat. It's oftentimes really common for a female athlete, especially a young one, to have menstrual cycle disturbances if they're trying to lose body fat. So the health goal here would be having plenty of energy during those long training sessions to make sure that she is well fueled and well hydrated, and then consuming enough nutrition to keep that menstrual cycle in check while she is looking to improve her body fat as well as improve her race time. So those are two examples that you can see how we can take a body composition goal and really look at it from a well-rounded, holistic approach for the athlete so that they're not hyper-focused on just body weight or body fat percentage. They're really looking at what are all the things that I can do to improve as an athlete. I used to work with a coach and he said, be a 24-hour athlete. So how does your nutrition, your hydration, your behaviors, your sleep, your rest, your training, all the things that you do contribute to being the best athlete that you can do, and having a performance goal, a health goal, and a body composition goal can really do that. So as we start to look at how do we create these goals for athletes, we want to use the SMART acronym. So making a SMART goal means making that goal specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. if I could even tell you how many times I have been asked by an athlete that wants to fill in the blank, lose weight, gain weight, get faster, et cetera, go, well, how long is that going to take? And I always say, well, how compliant are you going to be? And oftentimes that compliance is difficult. And we can make compliance easier if we really start to take that goal and put it into some measurable steps for the athlete. If a lofty goal is just floating out there and we don't have any tactical things to make it happen and to be able to measure it, it's going to be difficult to see, has that athlete done what they're wanting to do? So focusing on SMART goals is key no matter how old the athlete is. So first, let's start with S, make the goal specific. We want to specify what needs to be improved. So is it that they want to get faster? Okay, great. They need to lose 2% body fat. Great. Define the target. How do we make that measurable? So being very specific in all three categories, the performance goal, the health goal, and the body composition goal is going to be key. So define the target. Then we want the goal to be measurable. Define what can be measured to see if you are actually reaching or meeting the goal. Some people make such lofty goals and they don't put any action steps behind it. And so they don't necessarily know if they ever meet the goal. So what will be measured and when will it be measured so that we all know, is that athlete meeting the goal? So let's say we're talking about a sports medicine or sports performance team, that strength coach, the athletic trainer, the athlete, the parent. We all want to know what are the measurable things that we're going to do to measure this specific goal. Is it like they want to have more energy? So a measurable tactic would be, how many times did you go to bed by 9:30 p.m.? Or how many hours did you sleep at night, et cetera? If we're talking about a health goal, eating more fruits and vegetables, how many servings of a fruit and vegetable did you eat? Like, these are measurable things. So those measurable markers are going to be key for really determining if the athlete is meeting the goal. So making it specific, then measurable, measuring the specific goal that you've set. The A in SMART goals is making the goal achievable. So we need to look and evaluate the athlete's current skill level, their dietary habits, their training, their school day schedule, their life situation and environment. Is the specific goal that we've set and measuring it the way we're going to measure it, is it achievable? Is it feasible for this athlete to do this? Let's say the athlete says, all right, well, I want to until 6:30 in the morning and practice starts every day at 6, or it starts at 6:30. Well, that's not a feasible goal. We're going to have to back that up. So if the athlete needs more sleep, we might have to change the measurable component and say, all right, the athlete's going to have to go to bed earlier. So making that goal achievable, something that can be measured and that the athlete can actually achieve. The R in SMART goals is realistic, and I think achievable and realistic kind of go hand in hand together. So you want to evaluate where you are now, where you want to be, and what is the timeline that you are going to get there in. Like, consider practicality of this. So making something achievable and realistic needs to be done, because oftentimes an athlete can reach a goal, but they can't maintain that goal because it's not achievable long term, or it's not realistic long term. So I tell a lot of athletes, the weight, the body fat percentage, whatever it is that you can get to, may not be the one that you can maintain healthfully with enough energy performing at your best. So really evaluating the achievability and the realisticness, the practicality of how are we going to put this goal into place and how are we going to achieve it on a daily basis is going to be key to having success with the actual goal itself. Then finally, the T is time bound. We want to have a deadline and we want to break it down. So the goal becomes, you have this big goal. Get faster, get stronger, lose body fat percentage a certain amount. We need to specifically define what that is, then look at what the measures are going to be and how we're going to measure that. We're going to evaluate that athlete's achievability, their different life scenarios, the feasibility of achieving the goal. How realistic is it? What measures do we need to change, alter, et cetera, to make these action steps realistic? And then, how are we going to put a timeline on this? So it really all five components need to work together because we need to make sure that that time consideration is feasible and that it's practical and that it's measurable and that it can actually be done. Sometimes what an athlete wants to accomplish in a certain time may not necessarily be what they can accomplish healthfully in that time while maintaining performance, energy, etc. And it's really important that we evaluate these goals each time we measure, whatever the time frames are going to be that we're measuring things, to see, do they need to be adjusted? Does the timeline need to be adjusted? If an athlete isn't reaching that goal quite as quickly, okay, that's fine. Let's adjust the time. Did the training schedule change? Did it increase? Did something change? If it did, then we need to look at, all right, well, what are the realistic factors here? And how do we adjust that timeline and break down the action steps that are going to be required to meet that specific goal? When we look at developing these SMART goals, it is really important that the athlete's whole team is on board with all three goals. The three-part strategy of the behavior or the health goal, the performance goal, and the body composition goal. So the coach, the athletic trainer, the strength coach, the physician, if there's one involved, the parent, everyone needs to be on the same page and speaking the same language, because if there are different conversations going on, if there are different measurable tactics going on, if the coach thinks these are the action steps and the parent thinks these are the action steps and they're not the same, that oftentimes can create confusion for the athlete. It can make it harder to accomplish the goal, and it can also make it frustrating for the athlete. So we need to be certain, no matter the age of the athlete, that we are all speaking the same language. What's communicated at home should be what's communicated in the weight room, should be what's communicated in the training room, as well as what's communicated on the field, the court, or the course. So it is very common for athletes to want to achieve something. Athletes are driven by nature. It is okay for them to have body composition, performance, and health goals, but we want to make sure that we are looking at them from a well-rounded, holistic standpoint, and that we're providing the athlete with the nutrition, the hydration, and the accountability that they need to help to really meet those goals. The one thing that I will say that's very different for youth and teen athletes, even going into college, that is not the same for adults, is that we are also still factoring in growth and development. And the nutrition and nutrients and the rest required for growth and development is substantial. When you tack on a lot of training, a lot of competing, a lot of travel to play and compete, that really taxes a young athlete's body, and it really increases their need for proper nutrition and likely more nutrition. So just something to consider. Not only are we trying to fuel the athlete, hydrate the athlete, give them energy to play their sport, we also need them to have strong energy for school and really sharp mental acuity to do homework and the right nutrition to grow and develop, as well as do the other extracurricular activities they like to do, like play with their friends, be involved in organizations, etc. So if you will really consider this three-part strategy for goal setting for athletes as we are going into 2024, really helping the athlete break it down and making those goals SMART, I am confident that your athlete can reach those goals and hopefully reach those goals in a much more holistic way, making the athlete better from a performance, health, and body composition standpoint. If at any time you think, oh my gosh, this is too much as a parent, it's too much as a coach, we have sports dietitians that can work with athletes that can help them really dial in on the goal and make these goals SMART and teach them how to do that. Sometimes you need a third party for an athlete to really reach a goal, and they need that accountability partner and someone who can help them with measuring where they're supposed to be in the goal, making it realistic, following through on the timeline. So the sportsnutritionplaybook.com, you can find all of our dietitians. You can schedule services, one-on-one coaching. You can look at all of those different factors to really help those athletes. So as we all make our goals for 2024, help your young athletes succeed by giving them this three-part strategy for goal setting success. Thank you for listening to the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe to stay up to date with our latest episodes. If you have questions or would like me to cover a specific topic, leave us a review. And for more information and resources, check out thesportsnutritionplaybook.com and be sure to tune in every other week for new episodes.